This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is your Sunday annual video assortment series of reviews. This is the 17th installment. I'm your host Duncan McLeish. Welcome to the show. Up on the 17th episode in this series, we look at a little bit of crime, a little bit of action, a little bit of cops tracking down bad guys and slapping the cuffs on them. Book 'em, Dano. We're doing To Live and Die in LA from 1985. That is your movie. The review for it will be coming up right after the break. Before we get to that, let's catch up. You are concluding your week's run of episodes. It's been a fun one, to say the least. We started way back on Monday, feels like an age ago, with a special interview review episode where we look at a brand new acquisition from Arrow Video coming to physical media in September. We talked to the director of that movie as well. On Thursday, we paid tribute to the late great Ennio Morricone, who sadly passed away at the start of this week, by doing a mixtape episode. Yesterday, we did your choice of movie covering Ghosts of Mars by John Carpenter from 2001. And obviously, we're concluding it today with To Live and Die in LA. Tomorrow, you guys have selected two X-Files episodes that will be covered, and I'm looking forward to that, kicking off a brand new week of podcasting from Under the Stairs. Over in the Teapots Collective next week, you'll be getting the next installment of Where to Begin with Giallo. So keep your eyes peeled for that one as well. So yeah, that is you all caught up. Let's get into this, shall we? We have a lot to talk about here. We're going to take a very short break just now. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You're going to hear the trailer for To Live and Die in LA. And when we return, we're discussing that movie right after this.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all. Sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, tin cough, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
I'm gonna bag Rick Masters.
We got a chance to make him on a hand-to-hand buy.
You can't come up with the front money. You're not for real.
You're not the first agents to get next to Masters.
You're not wired, are you?
Welcome back, ladies and gents. So you just heard the trailer for To Live and Die in LA from 1985. This is the 17th selection in our Arrow video assortment. This is a movie that I actually saw for the first time a couple of years ago and genuinely think it's fucking great. And that might have something to do with the man behind the director's chair. Let's get into some information from the Arrow video website. It says, a federal agent is dead. A killer is loose, and the City of Angels is about to explode. In the 70s, William Friedkin made The French Connection, The Exorcist and Sorcerer. In the 80s, he equaled them with To Live and Die in LA, one of the most stylish thrillers the decade had to offer. When his partner is murdered just days before retirement, Secret Service agent Richard Chance, played by William Peterson of Manhunter fame, begins to obsessively hunt for his killer counterfeiter and all-round psychopath, Eric Masters, played by Willem Dafoe at his villainous prime. Beautifully shot by Robbie Mueller of Repo Man Paris and Texas fame, and with a driving score with British New Wave act Wang Chung, To Live and Die in LA looks and sounds exceptional in this brand new 4K restoration from the original 35mm negative. Details on the disc, production year 1985. This is region locked to region B. I believe Scream Factory, aka Shout Factory, put out in the States. The rating in the UK is 15. The runtime is just a ball here under 2 hours. There are two discs in this particular box set. You have a English language with English SDH for the subtitles. The audio is DTS HD Master Audio 5.1. Aspect ratio is 185:1, and it is in colour. Cast and crew information for you. Directed by William Friedkin. Cast is William Pearson, Willem Dafoe, John Pankow, John Turturro, and Dean Stockwell. The extras on the disc for you are a brand new 4K restoration from the original 35mm negative, supervised and approved by director William Friedkin. High definition Blu-ray 1080p and standard definition DVD presentations. Optional 5.1 surround and 2.0 stereo audio with the DTH HD master audio and uncompressed PCM on the Blu-ray. Optional English subtitles for the deaf or harder hearing. Audio commentary by director and co-writer William Friedkin. Taking a Chance, a brand new interview with the actor William Peterson. Doctor for a Day, a brand new interview with actor Dwyer Brown. Renaissance Women in LA, a brand new interview with Debbie Frewer. So In Phase, scoring To Live and Die in LA, a brand new interview with the composers Wang Chung. Runway, the stunts of To Live and Die in LA, a brand new interview with the stunt coordinator Buddy Joe Hooker. Counterfeit World, the making of To Live and Die in LA, an archive featurette containing interviews with Friedkin, Peterson, Willem Dafoe and others. An alternate ending, deleted scenes, stills gallery, trailer, radio spots and a reversible sleeve featuring original and newly commissioned artwork by the Twins of Evil. So yeah, like I say, I saw this movie a couple of years ago and it was the first time I'd ever seen it. And to be honest, Friedkin is one of those directors in that I've seen a lot of his work, but there are total blank spots in his career. And actually getting a chance to sit down and get through some of them is where I find my brain starts to genuinely think that the guy has a lot of missteps, but when he's on form, dear God almighty, The Exorcist was not a fluke, ladies and gents, surprise, surprise. I only saw Bug recently, and that movie just fucking floored me, like completely floored me in its rawness. So the first time I watched To Live and Die in LA, the first thing that kind of raced through my mind is this is coming about the same time as Manhunter, maybe just the year before. And there are elements here, not fully in the style of Michael Mann, but it has a kind of Mann-esque sort of quality about it. Certainly the vibe and the feel of the city it's shot in, kind of criminal aspect that's at play as well. The fact that we spend so much time with the criminal himself, you know, evokes things like Heat. And the kind of casting feels almost, at times, like the sort of casting you would expect from a Michael Mann movie. And I'm not just saying that because William Peterson actually goes on and plays, you know, in Manhunter as, you know, our main kind of detective trying to track down the Tooth Fairy. So, I mean, there are elements of that, but certainly Willem Dafoe is the sort of guy I would expect Michael Mann to cast as a villain in these movies. So the casting's the strength here. The story itself is a bit kind of hum-ho, to be honest with you. It's that kind of 80s thing where we have a master counterfeiter who's doing all this stuff. And the master counterfeiting in this one is Hollywood counterfeiting. So it's all very much like, oh, I can just draw a picture of a, you know, $20 bill and then I can just run it through a photocopier and use a guillotine and then throw some coloured chips in a fucking tumble dryer and et voila, we have some fake money and it will pass the smell test. And I've seen that before. Like, famously, you see that in, what is it? What's the name of the movie again? Beverly Hills Cop is the one with the kind of idea of the counterfeit money as well. And it's all a bit kind of ropey. I do not pretend to be any expert in the world of counterfeiting. I know that may shock some people out there, but it's true. I just don't have much information or knowledge in counterfeiting, but when they show it on TV it always seems a bit fake. So, you know, like the process seems a bit too easy, and if that was the case everyone would be fucking doing it. So I find that quite amusing. But that removed, the idea of a kind of, you know, a cop close to retirement who dies and his partner trying to avenge him is about as cliche as cliches get in this world of cinema. So you have to kind of take all that on the chin. This movie, kind of story-wise, is not bringing anything to you that you have not seen in multiple other movies from the 80s, from the 70s, the 90s and onwards. This is well-trodden ground. But where specifically Friedkin kind of levels this particular movie or this story up is his choice of characters, his choice of actors in this one. Willem Dafoe, very young and fresh-faced Willem Dafoe, is fucking great in this movie. He is a guy who is constantly playing everyone against everyone, who is like some sort of super genius, but at times has issues necessarily being the genius that I think he perceives himself in being. Fucking ruthless. I mean, he will cut throats in order to make sure that his identity is kind of kept secret and no one can get their hands on him or anything that he's done. And that involves, you know, someone like John Turturro in this movie who accidentally gets pinched. I believe that's what the, you know, the criminals call getting arrested. And, you know, he sets up this elaborate scheme to basically have him murdered in prison. And all the flaws that go with that are kind of amazing. So very much like Heat, there are stories happening in amongst the main story here. We spend time with the criminal. We see some of his exploits go well. We see some of them go poorly. We're spending a lot of time with William Peterson's character, Special Agent Chase, who is, I mean, the aptly named Chase, who's trying to track down his partner's murderer. And all the elements that he goes through, you know, not quite fitting well within the rules of the law and his kind of tracking down of the suspect. So we have all those elements kind of in the background. And then elevating it even further is Friedkin's direction. The direction in this movie is fucking awesome. I mean, like, Ellie is, you know, very much a character in this movie. It's kind of nuances, it's, you know, urban areas, it's the fact that, you know, it's built in an area where you're not that far from, things like desert, you know, these open kind of almost kind of dangerous areas where you're off the beaten track of the road and there's just some properties here with some busted cars in the front of them. What does that mean? Who's in there? What are they up to? So all those elements, I think freaking nails that. And then on top of that as well, you have a score by kind of... It's difficult to see Wang Chung and not kind of smile a little bit. I mean, they're a band who themselves had a couple of big hits. An interesting choice for Friedkin to select them. The score for this movie is legit the tits, though. When you're listening to it, it's, you know, it's no Tangerine Dream, if you know what I mean. It's, you know, it's not the way that man would pick his sort of kind of synth-based scores. But that being said, Wang Chung deliver a eclectic, pulsating, kind of aggressive, but at times forward-moving score that really pushes what you're seeing on the screen forward at this kind of this breakneck speed, which is the speed in which our detective here, our special agent, is desperately trying to track down his partner's killer. And all that married together works really well. There's a couple of twists and turns in the story that I won't give away here, mostly because Arrow Video have a sale on at the moment. You can pick up the Blu-ray for this, 4K by the way, Blu-ray for this, for like £7.50. If you're in the UK, Zavi, HMV, and God knows where else, all have sales on, and this is a title in them, and this is one that I would recommend that you pick up. Not only because the 4K restoration is immaculate, this movie has never looked any fucking better. The sound is incredible as well. But the special features are brilliant. And I checked out special features when I got the disc the first time. I kind of went back over a couple of things, like the, you know, the interview with Friedkin himself, who has a fondness for this movie, and even William Peterson, who would go on and is now more commonly known as, you know, as a Grisham from CSI. He is genuinely fond of the, you know, the time that he spent making this movie, and I think it, you know, kind of goes hand in hand for sure. To Live and Die in LA is one of those movies where, you know, Arrow Video is the logical choice to put out a movie like this, but at times it kind of feels like one step removed from their usual fare. You know, this isn't a genre movie, so to speak, but it has genre DNA in it when you look at the characters, the actors in here have a kind of rich lineage with horror movies themselves, and then you look at the director himself, who arguably made the greatest horror movie of all time. So, I mean, it kind of all fits, weirdly fits, but in the best possible way when you sit down and watch it. I think this movie's absolutely brilliant. I checked out the alternate ending. To be honest, I liked the way it was on the disc. And that is all I'll say about that. Sometimes the right decisions are made on those things. But yeah, it's a great addition. If you've not picked this one up yet, this is one that I would highly fucking recommend. Especially at £7.50 for a 4K restoration. Ain't nothing to sniff at all. And it's another one to tick off if you've not seen it, from the filmography of William Friedkin, a guy who is genuinely super eclectic in what he puts out. I always marvel at the stuff the man made or continues to make. Even though I think that a documentary put out a couple of years ago is utter dog shit. I have to be honest, I have to put my hands up and say it wasn't very good at all. But yeah, I genuinely think this movie is kind of fucking awesome. And when it comes to give a grade, there's no way I can go below a kind of 4.5 for this one out of 5. And it's all the style and swagger of what you would expect from a 80s kind of crime cop thriller, but at the same time it has a wonderful cast, a great script, some great set pieces, and a style behind the lens that only Friedkin can bring to the performance. And before I forget, the cinematography is lush. That 4K restoration really brings a lot of what was being kind of in a lot of respects ahead of its time in terms of the use of the camera work and all the rest and the action sequences. So yeah, this one's definitely a 4.5. Couldn't go any lower than that for sure. going to take my final break of this episode. When I return, you'll find out what we'll be covering in 3 weeks' time. And I'm closing the show right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been your Sunday Arrow video assortment series of reviews. This has been episode number 17 in that series, and we looked at To Live and Die in LA. In 3 weeks' time, we will be turning our attention to The Car from 1977. Now, as we're saying, Arrow are running a sale just now, so you can pick up this movie for £7.50 as well. You get that one and To Live and Die in LA for like £15, both of them. So I'm not telling you to do that, but fucking do it. That's a great price. Let's give you the deets on the Arrow Films website. It says, there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, no way to stop. The Car. Made when Jaws was still the most successful movie of all time, The Car has almost exactly the same premise, but replaces the ocean with the Utah desert and the shark with a Lincoln Continental Mark III of possibly supernatural origin. When two teenage cyclists and a hitchhiking musician are killed in apparently deliberate hit and runs, the police department investigates, whereupon the seemingly driverless vehicle turns on its hapless officers as well. And when the car strikes rather too close to the home of Captain Wade Parent, played by James Brolin, he vows to stop at nothing to defeat it. Director Elliot Silverstein, who did Cat Ballou and A Man Called Horse, keeps everything as slick and streamlined as the car itself, turning the desert landscape into a powerfully mythic backdrop for a potent clash between the forces of good and those of inexplicable but clearly implacable evil. Details on this one are production year 1977, region locked to region B. It has a U certificate in the UK. Runtime is just over an hour and a half. One disc, language is English, subtitles English SDH, audio is LPCM stereo 2.0, aspect ratio is 235:1, and it is a colour movie. The cast and crew, director Elliot Silverstein, cast is James Brolin, Kathleen Lloyd and John Marley as well. The extras on the disc are a high definition 1080p presentation on Blu-ray for the first time in the world, or was back then, an original uncompressed stereo PCM audio. We have optional English SDH subtitles for the deaf or hard of hearing, an audio commentary with the director Elliot Silverstein moderated by Callum Waddle, Making a Mechanical Monster, special effects artist William Aldridge remembers The Car. Hitchhike the Hell. John Rubinstein recalls becoming a victim of The Car. An introduction and trailer commentary by director and The Car fan John Landis. The original trailer, Easter egg and reversible sleeve featuring newly commissioned artwork by Joe Wilson. So that's where we're going in 3 weeks' time. We're taking a journey to The Car. There's a multitude of ways to check out the show. As always, come across, check us out and subscribe wherever you find or are listening to podcasts. Just search Podcasts Under the Stairs, hit subscribe, and you'll never miss anything I do. And while you're doing that, subscribe to the Teapots Collective feed as well, and then you're getting everything that I do, everything I record and everything I produce, never missing anything. Couldn't be any easier than that. Visit our website, it's teaputscast.com. You can support the show by buying merch from teaputscast.bigcartel.com, and you can visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/teaputscast. If you want to check us out on the Facebook page for the Teaputs Collective, that's facebook.com/teaputscast. You can interact and just generally get abused by myself and Baz on Instagram and Twitter by following us on those twin prongs of social media sexiness at teapotscast. Could not be any easier than that. And check us out on Flick Chat if you're inclined. It's a free app for Android and iOS. Our join code is teapotscast. The podcast on this day will return tomorrow for a listener double bill. You guys selected it. Another two episodes from The X-Files. So we'll be bringing that to you tomorrow. But until then, whatever you are, whatever the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish, broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.